we ask that we would be sensitive to your call, to your direction, and to your empowerment for service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So calling, I think, is part of the theme today in the readings and our worship songs as well. And there's another theme of urgency. The time is short. The time is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. Mark's gospel is all about this thing that's moving. God's purposes are moving. But I want to say something just right up front, that one person's understand of calling can be very different from another person's understanding of calling. I, for instance, am an extrovert. And so God might call me to do things that God wouldn't necessarily call an introvert to do. And God would use an introvert in ways that he would not use me, that I just wouldn't be really perhaps open. I hope I would, but I think God uses us as we are. God doesn't need to change us to make us sort of useful. And not that we're ever useful, like just a simple utility. God loves us. We are not objects, but subjects in a relationship. And yet, at the same time, God uses our natural gifts and abilities, our interests, for his kingdom purposes. And that's why I think these brothers who were fishermen were just being fishermen. That's what they were doing, casting their nets in the sea. And God called them in that moment. The Zebedee's sons were mending a net. That's what they did. That was their work. They were focused on it, and rightly they should have been. And God broke into that moment and called them. And yet, do you see the bridge? There's a bridge there. I will make you fishers of people. It's not like it was completely and radically something different, alien. It's interesting how Jesus put that little bridge in there. I will make you fishers of people. And Mark says, immediately they went. Well, he said, immediately Jesus called them. There wasn't a lot of precursor and sort of coddling. He called them. This was a spirit-filled moment. And I ask you to consider those times in your lives when you were called. Called by God. And to think about those times. And if you responded, and then how you responded. In the collect, we prayed, Almighty God. Right away, we're saying, God, you have everything, you are everything. Whatever you call me to be or do, you will provide for me. By grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. So it's by grace alone. No one can stand up and say, I am so gifted, that God has used me powerfully. I would say, what? That doesn't sound right. Right? Just doesn't sound right at all. Someone might be gifted, that's for sure, but it's by grace alone God has given those gifts and then redeems those gifts and uses them for God's purposes of reestablishing shalom in all of creation. There's room for us all to be operating in our gifts because the task is so great. One thing about the service yesterday for Barb Smith, the memorial service, it gave many, many people at St. Cuthbert the opportunity to minister in their gifting. I saw it. From the person who erected the canopy over the memorial garden, because about 20 of us went out there in the pouring rain, someone thought that might be a helpful thing to have because of the weather. Someone looked ahead to see what the weather would be like on Saturday. They weren't asked to do this. And they had a connection with a canopy. And they called and said, do you think it'd be appropriate to put a canopy up for the committal? And I said, praise the Lord, yes. Then they anchored the edges. They did a very thorough job because it was windy. And it enabled us to be out there under cover. It was great. Someone thought it might be helpful, and I mean this in all seriousness, if someone dug a shallow grave or hole in the garden into which the cremated remains of Barbara could be placed. And so it was very neatly done. very thoughtfully done, very carefully done. Umbrellas appeared. Someone thought ahead. The reception, which is as important as what goes on in here, had a little army of people setting up, as you well know, preparing food ahead of time, gathering that, organizing it, thinking how we could best use this building for about 200 people to be served and then have a comfortable place to be. The altar killed, considering how we could figure this place that would bring the greatest honor to Barbara. I mean, many, many people operating in their gifts. And I've mentioned a few, and in doing so, it's always a risk, right? Because you leave out others. Barb was part of the choir and has been for years. And so the choir prepared an anthem. They used the gifts that they were given, and then we prayed that God would bring all these elements together into something beautiful. And I believe God honored that prayer. Ned's son Mark, very gifted, brought his gifts to bear in the eulogy. It was beautifully done. Photos, a video loop of Barb's art, all these ways. Great, clear sound. It was everything worked beautifully. And so when God calls us to do something large, I believe it's an opportunity for people to get engaged. This morning, we see gifts being offered. It's beautiful. Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Great gifts and calling is for service. That perhaps goes without saying. And it's service that we aren't fully clear about. We don't need to have the whole picture. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. That's fairly general, wouldn't you say? Where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to be? You know, is there cellular coverage? Is there Wi-Fi? God doesn't do that. Strengthen us by your Spirit, we prayed, and make us worthy of your call. I love that. I think it's a great prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our ministry is through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So we enter in very humbly to this service, and it's the most exciting thing we could ever do. Absolutely, I'm convinced of it. And I'll share why in a moment. In the readings, we've been hearing about different people's call, God calling different individuals, and the response is different. Even the call is different. It's unique. And so no one can say, God calls you this way, and if he doesn't, well, then it's not God. I think God calls in a myriad of ways. Think of Jonah. Today, the reading started with the word of the Lord came to Jonah how many times? Second time. Isn't God gracious? Because the first time, God called Jonah to go that way, and he went. He said, no way. No way. I'm not going to do that. And I kind of honor him in his boldness. Cheeky, really. And I don't think you should be cheeky with God. But he took off the opposite way, and he caused a world of hurt for the people on the ship where he was fleeing the Lord. And they asked him, what God do you serve? What have you done? And finally he said, throw me in the water because it's me. And he did, and God, in God's grace, rescued Jonah and then gave him a second chance. And clearly he responded a different way. That's just smart, don't you think? That's just smart. So we can reject the call, and perhaps you have. Perhaps if you thought back, you realized that God did call you, and you rejected it. Could God call you a second time? I think we'd have to say, well, he did Jonah. Sure, he could call me a second time. But maybe God will call you in a different way. Here, it was the same call. It was to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, the cradle of civilization, and to reform it, to call them to repentance. And what's interesting in this is that God called a second time and proclaim the message, I tell you. He didn't give them the message. And then the people of Nineveh believed not in Jonah, they believed in God, because this was a clear calling of God. we've been listening and reading in hearing about Samuel's call, little guy, 3 or 4 years old. We're told that he didn't even know the Lord yet. So can God call people who don't know him yet? I believe they can. They called Samuel. Samuel's parents dedicated him from birth, and so it wasn't like he was foreign to God. His family was dedicated to God and gave Samuel in fulfillment of a vow they made to God. So clearly God's spirit is at work in this little guy. But 4 times it took Samuel, that is, to respond because he just didn't know. And the other part of that story was the priest had become so deadened to God's call, Eli and his sons, that it took them 3 times, Eli anyway, to realize that it could possibly be God. So some of us have just grown dead to the call. One thing I love about watching the branches in the wind, it's easy to do. It's all around. This responsiveness to the wind, rooted and grounded, and yet there's lots of activity. There's lots of movement. And as William said, you know, a tree can break, that's for sure, but I'd like to focus on this responsiveness of even the trees. And are we at least that responsive to God's call? The goal there was the reformation of Judah's worship. Total reformation. And God did it through Samuel. And so there's 1 and 2 Samuel, a great testimony to this man's response to God's call. Think of Jesus and his baptism. It was like a nonverbal response to the call. Jesus was baptized, and then the voice from heaven came and affirmed Jesus in this calling, in this ministry. What is God? How has God called you? Perhaps it's been to go and inquire of someone. You just saw someone and said, I wonder if something's going on with them. Maybe I'll just go ask them. It could be that there's a particular need that you're sensitive toward, and you go to meet that need, and it blesses the person, and they said, how did you know? And that's living in the Spirit. I think we can have so much static that we just grow too busy and too preoccupied to really hear the call of God. And so the very first verse in Psalm 62, I think, is a way back to that place of preparation and then responsiveness. Because that is a beautiful thing. For God alone, my soul in silence waits. Isn't that beautiful? For God alone, my soul in silence waits. What if that was your meditation in a time of quiet? Right? For God alone, my soul in silence waits. Truly my hope is in him. Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. What would you have me do today? What would you have me do with this life? And God uses people in your life to also call you. I think God, that's been my experience. God's used others to call me. And one such way, and I want to share this again, I am an extrovert, and so God calls me in ways that he wouldn't call you. So I'm not using this as sort of a model, but I'm just trying to get at some of the dynamics that I've understood and experienced about God's call in my life. First of all, God uses other people. I was part of a street theater group on the beaches of Vancouver. It was like a summer mission. I did it for 2 years in university. I came up to Vancouver and tried to convert all of you. No. If you were down in Vancouver, I was actually. English Bay, Kitts Beach, and the streets around there. We're a full-time drama troupe supported by about 5 area churches. And so we did evangelism 6 days a week, and then met with people and brought them to church on Sundays. That's what we did. We were called the Jericho Fools. One day, it was threatening rain, it was really wicked, and so we all went to a movie, which was, you know, not a big deal. But when we came out, it was clear, and we thought, we missed an opportunity. I felt a little guilty. I think we all did a little bit, although I think looking back, it was just absolutely fine what we did. But as we were walking downtown, we came to a theater that had been boarded up, but the area under the marquee was still there, so it was kind of raining, but it was dry under there in a great amphitheater. And the leader of our drama troupe said, let's do some street preaching. Now, I'd done it as part of a drama before, but I didn't have any makeup on, and I didn't have any costume on, except me. He said, I'll go first. Paul, would you go second? And I went, okay. And as he said it first, we were about three blocks away. He knew exactly where he wanted to go. And for three blocks, I was trying to think up reasons why this was not a good idea. I really did. And I couldn't come up with one. And so when he turned to me and said, will you go second? I said, okay. I was out of my comfort zone, even for an extrovert. Greg went first, and he preached the gospel. I can't remember. And I was going, Lord, what can I say? And there had been a garbage strike. Do you remember those in Vancouver in the summer? Yucky, right? Smelly. You could smell it even on the street. And so God just, I just used that, you know, as a state of our spiritual lives as well, that we need the garbage taken out. And who did that? You know, Jesus. That's what I remember, basically. But what I remember most was standing back, and there was lights under the marquee still, so this light was out on the street, and this couple came, and they stopped. They were dressed up to go somewhere, obviously, but they stopped, and they listened. And one of them was pulling to keep going, and I saw her doing this. And the guy kept resisting, and sort of, they kind of moved through the crowd, because we did gather a crowd. And I thought, that's amazing. Something's happening there. They finally went off, but I wondered what was going on. Anyway, it was very exciting, and some people stayed, and we talked to them about Jesus. So that was one story where someone called me out, and I believe it was a call of God. I went back to university after that summer, and I was walking across the main square at Western Washington University, and I believe God called me to preach in Red Square. And I thought, what? I had my bike with me, and so I leaned up against a pillar, and I said, God, I just want to check in here again. He was like, yeah, do this. And I said, so, well, what should I say? And again, it wasn't an audible voice, but I got this very clear sense, tell people that they are walking dead. I thought, oh, that's going to be a popular message in Red Square. It's between classes. There are, I don't know how many people, but there are lots of people. So I said, okay. And what I'm trying to do here is link the ministry of Greg, who called me to do something out of my comfort zone. That is the bridge, right? I will make you fishers of men. I will use you in ways that maybe you're not comfortable with, but just get ready. And so I looked, and I saw a couple Christians from the Lutheran group. I wasn't part of that Christian group, but I knew they were Christians because I knew them from that group. And I went up to them, and I said, would you pray for me? Would you also watch my bike so it doesn't get stolen? But would you pray for me? They go, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to stand up on the next to the fountain, and I'm going to preach. They said, are you sure? And I said, no, but pray for me. Please pray for me. So I did that, and I can't remember exactly what I said other than, you're dead, walking dead people, and I think some guys thought I was talking about zombies at first, and that interested them, and I heard two guys say, let's push him in. I was aware of that. They were over here, and they were talking about pushing me in the fountain because it was like right there. Probably not exactly smart to stand by the fountain. They never did, thankfully. And I thought, what on earth is this difference going to make? What difference is it going to make at all? And it didn't affect the change that I thought it would. Because afterwards, this young woman came from the fellowship group that I was part of and said, I feel God's calling me to do what you just did. And I went, really? And she said, yeah. I said, have you ever done that? She said, no, I never have. I said, well, tell me about that. And she told me. And she said, I know, it sounds crazy. And so the two guys that prayed for me, we all prayed for her, and she stood up and started preaching. It's a day I'll never forget. It was wild. And out of that, there was a regular preaching in Red Square that a group of people thought they were called to do. And I don't know if it's still going on, but it was for a while anyway. And so you never know what fruit that God is going to bring from a simple act of obedience. It was a very simple thing. And I'm so thankful to Greg, who called me out of my comfort zone and said, are you second? Are you going to do this? Come on, we're all here. We'll support you. And I think that's what church needs to be. We need to be encouraging one another. Christine Reamer is doing something out of her comfort zone. She is at Missions Fest this Saturday. Missions Fest runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's the largest Missions Fest in North America, and it's right in our backyard. It's really a great place. It's down at the Convention Center in Vancouver, and she will be at the International China Concern booth for 3 hours on Saturday night. You go down and say, hey, it's really interesting what goes on there. You might want to consider that. She's never done it before, but she was asked to do it, and she's stepping out and doing that. And I just say, good for you. And so those are some of the ways I believe that God calls us. It's by grace alone. You call us and accept us. We might not get it right, but it doesn't seem to be a big deal with God. He wants us to step out in faith. He'll strengthen us by his Spirit as we prayed. And God, make us worthy of your call, that we would bring no dishonor to God. But I think trying and making a mistake is not bringing dishonor to God. It's simply learning as a child of God. I think Corinthians and the gospel, and I won't go into those very deeply, but it's all about the urgency. If you've rejected God's call before or just kind of put it down, Paul's saying the time is short. Like, clean that off. Reconsider what God has called you. Not in a judgment sort of way, but in a missed opportunity sort of way. Because it's the most exciting thing you could ever do is to be, as you know, responding to God's call faithfully. Just as you are. Whether that's a very quiet introvert, how do you do that? Do you pray with people? Do you meet people's needs in ways that they might not even be aware that it's you? Are you just sensitive to God's prompting? I think that's what it's about. So I hesitate to even use any examples because it's just such a broad body with all this diversity. So God calls us very individually. And yet may we be a community of believers that are waiting to respond to God's call. Jesus said in Matthew, therefore, be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming, and fulfill what he's called us to do, because it's the most exciting thing we could ever do. Anyway, I believe that's what Paul's saying as well. That there are many things we could give our attention to, but the primary thing we're called to give attention to is God and God's mission in the world. Let's pray. God, I believe with all my heart that you're calling individuals here, and I would hope calling us corporately as a body to be and to do some things. So help us to be responsive to your call. Help us to support one another in discerning your call, and then to be faithful to step out in simple obedience, that you would strengthen us in that calling and help us to bring glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.